Hello, fuckers. Welcome to another episode of Sloths and Humphreys on the Road, where we are briefly reunited for one episode to talk about the aftermath and stories from Matthew Canning, the Pincers stag do. I am going to be away for a week to go on another holiday, but Kai will be filling in. And then I think in like, you've got two episodes without me, and then after that, I think it's us together for 2 weeks, and then we've got Canada, still tickets available for some of those dates, and then Edinburgh. So, yeah, thank you for still subscribing and paying attention during these weeks if it's not being us. It is us now, it won't be us next week, blah. Enjoy the podcast.
Sloss and Humphreys on the road.
Muggins and cream, cream and muggins. Straight thuggin', living the dream.
And that's our intro.
Fucking muggles.
Tickling the clit inside your head that makes you laugh. They said it can't be done.
Are we in the same seats?
That's hack.
Oh, muggles.
Accidental rim job in the park.
Kiss, kiss, kiss.
Or am I just being cynical?
Just muggled it up on fucking Mugglepedia.
Where have you been since 9/11?
You got balloon hands.
It does, that one looks bigger than...
Aye, that's went chubby, that's swelled up.
Aye.
Is it because you've been fucking running with it like that? And what were you doing with it before?
What do you mean?
You were doing something?
Oh, like no.
It looked like a hot spoon.
I was cauterising that. The way to get rid of, if you get any sort of bug bites to leave you with itches, it's because it's the open wound reacting to the air. So if you heat up a teaspoon under hot water, not boiling water, because that leaves scars, and then put it on that, it stops.
Yeah, I didn't get that memo when I first set the gum shield for rugby. Hot water, not boiling water, straight through the fucking kettle. Popped it in, my gums were bleeding.
Oh, fucking bet.
It was shite. Aye. Absolutely shite, fucking playing rugby with gums bleeding.
And then I just fucking scratched myself consistently. I've got to say, I am very glad that I am in a secure relationship with someone who is not paranoid at all, because I don't think I could live in any other fucking relationship. Man, I cannot express to you how many random bruises I end up with on my body just throughout my life. No idea how they happened. And also, don't really care. Like, somebody would be like, how'd you do that? And I'm like, well, I've just noticed. So it's not bothering me now. I've not really thought about it. And I'm not going to work. Man, I scratch myself all the time because...
You come back with scratch marks on you. I had something on my back, and I was like, what's that on your back? And I just went, I want to show. Like, you know, you've done fuck all.
No,
you're
what
like,
is it?
What could it be? It looked like a footprint. Can you remember my back being stamped on? I've got a footprint on my back.
I don't know if they're still there.
Aye, that. I've got them.
Oh, that's from it's from the chair. From the fucking chair we were sat on the last day. Just had holes in it. That was all.
Sunburn through the holes?
Mm-hmm. No, not sunburn, just sitting on it. Just cheap, shitty, lying there for a long time, putting a lot of pressure on sort of stuff. It was that. I came back with...
Saying, you know, you've had a good time when you're like, can you remember anyone stamping on my back because I got a footprint on my back?
I came back from Bulgaria and Romania and had literally 3 claw marks just across there because I...
Because I was even backstage going, sorry, mate.
Are you fucking joking, mate?
I just grimmed on your eye. What's the matter with you?
Rancid fuck. Cara went, what was that? And I'm like, man, I don't know. Like, what was it look like? It's a scratch. How did it happen? I scratched myself at some point.
So I was in for a minute, I was kind of, that does look bad.
It does. But again, thankfully, no, because show was off. I was like, have you seen this? And she was like, and her first words were, so you scratch yourself when you're asleep. I'm like, I assume so. Otherwise, fuck me, am I brazen? I did have a girlfriend when, where this comes from, where's my fucking paranoia comes from, is when I became a paintball referee. Don't know if you've been hit by a paintball, but...
Hickey.
Kind of looks like a fucking hickey. And I got one on my neck, because that's, you've got your mask there, your suit there, got me fucking there. Now, fair enough. You're a 15, 16-year-old girl. You're from Fife, so probably don't have a positive relationship in your life to example itself on. You know, a lot of people just repeat the behaviours of their parents if your dad was shit to your mum.
Your parents always give each other hickeys, you know, man, dad.
But I mean like the jealousy sort of thing. Dad's a jealous person or your mum's a jealous person, chances are you're a jealous person or worried about it. I got a fucking paintball in the neck and she was like, that could be a hickey. I'm like, you know what? It could be a hickey, right? But here's my evidence against it being a hickey. There's one there, there's one there, there's one on my ankle, there's 3 in a small portion of my fucking back.
This makes it worse. Hickey everywhere. I fucking, this is a shite thing to do this, but There's a lad at work who put shampoo in my sandwich, and I started eating it from the other end, so I got all the way at the end of my sandwich doing the hash, as I'm eating shampoo in my sandwich. And he's like, well, I got you. So
that doesn't feel like a prank.
Huh? Was my supervisor now? Elder statesman?
And, that's not a prank.
Oh, mate, but we dish it all the time. That was a culture. Like, I used to do that thing, I tell you, but I don't know where you put, like, an egg.
Yeah, eggs are edible.
It's fair enough.
Man, oh, I put bleach in his tea. Like, there's a...
I was fine. I was arid. I washed my mouth through. I gagged to be sick a couple of times. It was grand. But I was like, all right, I'm next. It's my turn next. And I'm cleaning out the lockers, and I found a pair of knickers that had been left behind in the change room to the swimming pool. And I put the knickers in his bag. And his wife does his packed lunch and all that and sets his bag up for work and fucking caused ructions in the house. And he had no idea it was me.
Aye.
He didn't even have an excuse. She's like, who's are these fucking niggas? She's like, it could be anyone's. Could be fucking anyone's. I don't know how many people's sandwich I've put shampoo in. It could be anyone's. They by the sword. Aye. But do you think if you're stable enough, like if you've got a niggas in your bag, because it'd still be like a... You know, if my wife scan through my bag and she'll find some knickers, it'd still be like, well, I look guilty.
If I came back from tour and there was knickers in my bag, I would also be as confused as Gara.
Yeah, I'd love to get to the bottom of this.
Aye. And if you'd done it, I'd never talk to you.
Because if I'm getting in trouble for doing that, I want at least to have done it.
Aye, I want to have done that. I want to have done the fucking crime.
Aye, Imagine getting done for cheating and you hadn't even been laid, like you hadn't gotten anywhere. fuck, I just got the worst bit of the thing.
I would be annoyed at the accusation I'm like, why on earth do you think I cheated? Right, fair enough.
But you didn't understand how that sounds like gaslighting if the phone knickers in your bag.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm like, I understand the underwear in the bag looks like I'm cheating, right? Can you give me any other, like, why? I don't know. I just, for me, man, I've lived my fucking life. Like I've said,
I think there'd be a certain bulletproofness to you as well. I'd feel bulletproof still. Like there'd be a little bit like my response would be like, I can see how this looks bad. Right. Like, you know, when I got me Naughty Boys tattoo, and Natalie was like, "Is your ex girlfriend's initials not NB?" And I'm like, "Oh, well, that's not why I did it."
Aye.
Like, we can't.
But aye. Well, it's because I'd be the same. I think Cara could come back from a 7-day fucking Hindu somewhere in the world, having not been in contact with me at all. And she could come back and I'd be like, how was it? She could be like, I don't want to talk about it. And I'd be like,
aye.
Aye, trust you, baby. Mm-hmm.
It's your Hindu. You're all good.
Yeah, my
secret safe with everyone because you're not tired of it.
Talk to all the other girls, none of them are saying anything. They're like, man, it sounds like you guys got given some dodgy ecstasy.
It's like they've been a nom.
If you want to ask any further questions, if you want to tell me any further information, I'm not going to receive any further fucking information.
We've just come back from a stag do. I'm in a daze, me. Like, I've luckily avoided like any big headaches. It was last night. I started like I've been coughing. I've been vaping a lot, so like I'm coming off it now. So my lungs are trying to claim themselves back. So I'm hacking up, and like it's getting to the point where like if I cough too much, I get a headache.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm just like stifling coughs, so I don't get a headache. So I'm just like I'm not in a great place, but I deserve to be worse.
I was in bed pre midnight first two nights.
You took one look at the strip every time you came to the strip and went, not for me.
Not for me, man.
No
judgment on anyone else that fucking goes there, if that's how you find enjoyment and you can find joy from it.
You had your moment in time where you've been to Benidorm Strip and you went back for more.
Yeah,
you
and know? I went back and went, oh man, I have outgrown this so fucking much that I'm not even going to step a foot inside of it.
And all the while, still one of the youngest people there. it's quite an elderly, like it's either, it's like one or two things. You can end of a place like that's jumping and feel like you've come to pick your child up.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can end of another place like you're looking to bring your dad home.
Yeah.
like it's skipped our generation almost.
It's so hard to not, I'm going to try my best not to fucking judge people that go there. Because at the end of the day, like, you know, cost of living crisis, it's an affordable holiday for a lot of families. It's, you know, it's value for money, I imagine, for them. It's just the sun. I mean, if you're over there with your family, you're not going down to the fucking strip or whatever. It's really, so I'm trying my fucking hardest to not. I'm like, look, there's just different people who live a different life. This is their version of fun. And also, you're having fun here as well, so don't pretend that you're above it.
Yeah, it's fun.
And then every time I walk down the strip, I'm like, I am so fucking far above this all.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's scuzzy. It's like absolute dregs. Oh. Dregs of society. And I think that's what's funny about it. It's like there's this fucking, it's this pit. Mm. It's this pit where you're like, fucking anything goes. Nothing will shock you. Like, you saw somebody crash that mobility scooter, topple off, man with one leg lying on the floor, both of them drunk, him mm-hmm. and his mate, because mm-hmm. it was a doubler, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Both of them fucking...
I don't think it was a doubler. I think the guy who had both legs said to his friend who had one leg, can I drive your mobility scooter? And he was like, well, obviously I can't go anywhere, so I have to sit on your knee. And then they ramped around a fucking lamp.
Because I already saw it on the floor.
No. They ramped around a lamppost, and 120 people within 50 feet, not a single person ran over, just phones out. Filming the whole thing, you. And I'm like, are we still calling this humanity? At this time in the morning, at this part of the world, are we calling what's taking place humanity?
Imagine what it's like being like from there, mm-hmm. being from there and having that version. Like,
I can see why they hate. I can see again. I can see why the Spanish hate. The Brits, like, I get it.
But you also hate them because they assume you to be one of them.
Yeah, oh man, it's racism versus racism, and every time we respond to each other with just further racism. Mm-hmm. And I've done a lot of growing in my life. I've done a lot of growing in the past couple of weeks. I watched a bunch of stuff about North Korea, updated my opinion on that, acknowledged to Matthew that, you know, probably I was sucked in by a lot of like Western media stuff. And because it was a more nuanced thing than it just being like black and white, they are all stupid or they are all this. It's a bit more into that. And I was ignorant of that and I acknowledge it, and I'll do some more learning about that. That being said, fuck every Spanish person to hell. I'll never outgrow it.
There was one bit where I went in a restaurant on my own, right? I was just like, everyone's going for dinner after, before we're going out, but I'm going to go for food now and have a nap. I'm just going to like have my own little fucking adventure. And I went and it took us ages to get someone's attention, asked for a menu, they brought us a menu, asked for an English, they brought us an English, and it took us a while to get where I am, right? But I've chose what I wanted to eat, I closed the menu, I'm looking around, there's more staff than customers, but like I'm trying to get someone's attention, someone comes over and I'm like, can I have that one please, pointing at it, because the English menu, I don't know how good their English are, so I give them like the fucking, and they just went, the kitchen's closed. I was like, why did he give us this? Why didn't we have that transaction? Do you think I'm searching this for tomorrow? Like, I'm just sitting doing it perusing. I just wanted something to read.
Man, there's no...
They hate us, and they've got every right to hate us.
Of course, because we send them our worst. And also, Brits are... I can't remember who I was talking about on the holiday. It's so hard to work out whether... Who's the worst tourists? Is it Brits or is it Americans?
Americans seem a bit more... eager to learn?
Nope, that's not. Off the bat, disagree.
You know, nothing tourists, American tourists, not in America, but like if they've come to Europe, they're like, they're inquisitive. They want to see things. Like they don't just want to come to Europe and fucking hit the strip, right?
I feel like inquisitive is such a strong word for such a basic people. Like
I think American tourists are more malevolent. I don't think all the fights that are breaking out in Spain on night out are Americans.
Yeah.
I think they're Brits. I think we do more property damage.
Aye, Americans
they're,
are...
They're annoying.
Americans are keeping their worst. Like, I think all the worst Americans... Uh-huh. All the worst Americans don't have passports. Yeah. And they stay in the fucking... Uh-huh. All the worst Brits have passports. Mm-hmm. And they all only go to Spain and Poland.
So, I'd managed to keep it quiet that we're going to Benidorm for the longest time, even on the podcast, because I know Matty sometimes tunes in. We're talking about going to Southampton. Because I was just like, oh, nobody quite fancies it, the cost of living and all that. So I had him on that, like, nobody's coming. Anytime he asked about an individual person, I was like, oh, I've got the kids. Like, this is happening. Oh, no, he's got another person stag doing the same week. So, like, every person was like, every time he asked anybody, they were like, oh, no, I'm not spending that again at Southampton. So, like, I managed to make him think, like, he obviously knew people were coming. And I obviously knew we weren't going to Southampton.
Mm.
But I managed to just keep that as the party line for everybody until I'm watching JFK at his house. Like, because I was at Manchester for the weekend, working up to the Sunday and then flying on the Wednesday. I had 2 days off. It was so pointless going back to Glasgow and then back to Manchester the next day. Two travel days just for the sake of one night in my own bed. So I just stayed right through, and in them days, I watched a bunch of films. I'm watching JFK, and Matty's just like, comes to join us. He wasn't even watching it. And I take a hit of my vape, and it fucking starts blinking. And I just say, my vape's wrong, and I'm going to need another vape before Benidorm. And I didn't even hear myself say it. The day before fly, I didn't even hear the words come out of my mouth, and I just carry on watching the film. And about 10 minutes later, I'm not even exaggerating, about 10 minutes later, I just went, before where? I was like, fuck. I managed to hold on to it for about a year. Because this is the thing as well. We've done a trip to Vegas for you, right? Benidorm's always going to be underwhelming, right? It's always going to be underwhelming. But with you, you paid for everybody. So I was going to be able to get everybody that you wanted to come there. There was no worry about that. Mm. What I had to do is find a place that was affordable for everybody, but I could still, at that in that price range, get him a nice hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in a decent hotel.
Right, and we've only ever stayed in Crackdowns in Benidorm before.
Aye. And it was quite nice, wasn't it, the hotel that we're in, right? So I needed to just get this perfect balance of, like, all the people that he wants to come can afford it, but we're still somewhere nice and central and in the middle. So to do that, Benidorm was a shout. I think, like, when I was looking at other places, like fucking places in Portugal and stuff, it was just a bit pricier to be there. It would be a little bit out of town, while it would be somewhere scuzzier. And I was just trying to find somewhere near a golf course as well. But I thought, right, to get in from a Vegas stag to a Benidorm stag is going to be brutal, right? But if I make on that we're not leaving the UK and that hardly anybody's coming, and I, like, make this underwhelming thing, and then all of a sudden he's in Europe, he's in Spain, it's nice and sunny, all his mates are there. I thought just, like, pull it back and then push it forward would be, like, a good way of making it look good. And he totally started falling for it that new one was coming. It was like Benidorm, even before I said Benidorm, I was like, oh, can you believe Benidorm's just joined the EU and we need to go and get Euros for the trip? Like, I was like, you knew it was going to be overseas, right? But we get there and we get to the airport. Ricketts turns up at his house. We get to the airport. Demas turns up at the airport. So it's that thing where people are starting to gather on, and then we just carry on the party line that new one's coming. And then we get we start going, George, should we just have a cup of tea or something? Because we just want to, like, Matty's like, just want a casual one. And you could tell he was just like, when's it going to start? And then he ordered the beers. He was like, we'll get a beer. Because I'm like, if he's drinking, it's going to be on his terms. And then the flight was dry and I got him a cup of tea. And then we get to the strip. And every bar we go to, he thinks this is where the lads are going to be.
Was your flight dry because people on it
were? People were dicks.
I would love to get it put through. And I know this is an insane amount of power to give people, but I think they deserve it. I think air stewards should be allowed to confiscate and shred passports.
Aye, just leave them there.
I think you walk down the fucking flight and people are being fucking shit and they're drinking too much and you're like, oh yeah, they're like, oh, we get another bottle of vodka? You're like, absolutely, can I just ID you? Sorry, thank you very much.
You know how you get points on your driving licence?
Aye.
Like, how's that not a system? How do you not just get points on your passport like that? I just give it by, like...
No. That's too much. Just because then people can dispute the points. Then people can argue. You can't argue against a fucking trip. It's gone, man. You can be as angry as you fucking like. It's all over. Like, you know. And once you get there, congratulations. Your problem is to now work out how the fuck...
Where's the embassy?
Yeah. Also, you'll be able to leave fine. I don't think countries are ever... I don't think Spain would be like, well, we can't let you leave, Mr. British person. I guess you have to stay here forever. They're like, man, we'll fucking stick you over on one of them migrant boats. Start launching fucking rocks at it as well.
Aye, that would be some good retribution. Because that'll be the cunts. That'll be the same cunts that dehumanise them. So kind of the whole idea was to just underwhelm him with the first night that there's nobody coming. But then Ricketts just broke rank. Ricketts was like, get the shots in, let's do it, let's have some sambucas and stuff. I ended up spewing in my mouth, didn't have anywhere to put it.
No, the worst.
Full on swallowed the spew and then had to fucking tip me pint glass and spew in that.
Where were you at this point?
I was at Red Lion on the strip. But what was good, because I was just like, I ban rickets. I was like, what are you breaking rank for? I'm underwhelming. The whole point is to just like, this just isn't firing, like, you know, like damp squib. Like trying to fucking light a wet firework. It's not going. But actually, when Ricketts did that, it looked like he was trying to do something to give the stag a bit of something. And it actually looked really, like, in retrospect, it looked really authentic that Ricketts just went, right, I'll grab this by the bowels. These lads are, because I was letting Matty drive. So, you know, all the pace we were going at was all Matty's decision.
Aye.
So, like, the pace was at his pace.
Matty's a financial advisor, except when he's drinking and then he works for the NHS, because you've never seen somebody nurse a pint back to health.
Aye, Matt Nurser.
Aye, it's pretty fucking...
Yeah, he just likes it warm. He likes a warm pint. He likes to sit in Spain and just let his pint boil.
Aye, get it there, throw it down his neck.
So we end up having a good night. We get in about like 3-4 o'clock in the morning and we've checked into a hotel. The hotel's nice, we're there and he's in bed and nobody's turned up yet. And then we get up and we're going for breakfast in the hotel and nobody's down in the lobby. And it's just like, he's at this point, he's fucking hook, line and sinker that it's just me, Demas and Rick. It's on his stag. And we say, right, we've had breakfast. Let's go and get our shorts on and let's go and lounge by the pool. And we're going to lounge by the pool. And it's like, this was the moment where Matty should have been careful what he wished for. because he was having a much better time before everybody turned up. But you turned up. That was a masterstroke when he turned up. Because you turned up with Elliot and a lad he worked with. You had the early flights.
Yes, and I did I could have murdered fucking Elliot. Just so used to travelling with you. We're on a different flight. We get off the flight. Two Rangers fans were arrested on my flight because I know you're meant to say that all Old Firm fans are as bad as each other, but statistically that's incorrect. Meet Elliot after fucking customs, which wasn't too bad. I've got my bag. Matty's other friend, Mark, comes along. He's got his bag. And Elliot goes, oh, I just got away the carousel from mine. Checked mine in. For 3 fucking days in a fucking hot country where you're not fucking snowboarding.
And small enough to not check in. Overhead locker size.
Oh. He's like, I've been hurt before. And I'm like, oh, you're trusting Spanish ground staff to show. Yeah, and sure enough, we were there for an extra fucking 45 minutes. And then in the taxi on the way back, I'm like, look, I'm like, just let me go in because I'll tell Matty that, you know, Kai was telling me how bad it was. I flew in last minute. I can go in. It's, you know, believable that I turned up fucking last minute. And we have to. And Elliot's like, I'll just wait in the bar. And I'm like, mate, I love you, but you have zero volume control. None at all.
Like, and you can totally tell his voice.
Oh,
it's so distinguishable.
It starts and ends with bruv. Like, it's just, and I say this as someone who has a very notable, like, carrying voice. My friends in high school used to always say they used to be able to hear me coming before they saw me because my deep, resonant voice would fucking carry around corners and whatnot. So that's why I was always, if I was in the corridors, I'd shut my fucking mouth. Elliot, very distinctive laugh.
So you come out on your own and Matty was like, fucking the relief that people are turning up, the relief that somebody's here, because he'd resigned at this point. Because that was the thing, we booked everybody for Thursday, but like we purposefully booked on Wednesday to do this to underwhelm them. And like it only works if you commit enough for it to work. And then you come in and just go, Kai was texting us last night saying it's a disaster. He keeps looking around for the lads. He's absolutely devastated. Somebody has to get here. You're the only person I can think of that would just put money down on it last minute. Like, can you get, like, just for me, best friend card. And you totally fucking played him because, like, he fell for it. And then he was chuffed you were there, but also just, like, it added authenticity to the lie.
Aye.
And then obviously people start turning up. Elliot and Mark come in after a pint and then there's like a massive group come in on the early flight. And what was good is like a couple of people who like, one of them's a groomsman, like an usher, Brucey. He wasn't on a later flight because one of the lads who organised it just like went for false economy cheapness. You know, and you're like, right, we'll get that flight because it's 20 quid cheaper and it's like 9 at night instead of two in the afternoon. You save like 20 quid, but obviously the taxi markup's different at that time of night, and you end up spending more and having less time on your holidays. So like the money that you might have saved, you could have had more holiday for. So like the rest of the lads on that flight were like, why did we let him book it? Why do we, like Natalie WestJet? So like there was like waves of like people getting added on, and then Cullen come the next morning. So that was just like proper anticlimax. So what I set up to do for him, we'll talk about how I set it up, and then we'll talk about how it went. This is how I set it up, right? I got these cards made, hundreds of them, right? They're called pincer pounds, if people are watching the thing. They're like room key hotel cards, mm-hmm. fit in your wallet. And what I did is I put a drinks voucher worth £2 and a shot voucher worth £3. Because when Matty likes to nurse his pint, mm-hmm. right, and we cannot give him the same stag as me where you chose my drinks. He has your whiskey and soup. He has your fucking vodka and chili. Like, he's just putting stuff in front of us. And my whole thing to that was to be blasé, spew on my feet, fucking keep moving forward.
I think Cam was in charge of your drinks when you're...
Yeah, was it not Cullen?
It might have been Cam and Cullen, might have been a team.
One of them was on food and one of them was on drinks, and they kept merging them.
That might have been
they
that,
kept
yeah,
put, They kept putting, like, alcohol in me meals and shit like that. Like, I can't mind most of them. But, like, it was, like... Non-optional, but in like my clothes, you had someone on my clothes, didn't you? So someone was like putting us in outfits all the time. Someone was doing my hair all the time. Someone was my PT instructor. Elliot was like fucking dropping girls 50 burpees in the middle of a night out and fucking heat of Spain and that. So like, I got fucking all this shit was happening and I just rolled with it. And I was like, wait, that would murder Matty. Mm-hmm. Like that wouldn't be fun if we just like for like. So I made it so that he could optionally have his own drinks. He could actually go through the holiday and have zero drinks because everybody's got a shot and everybody's got a drink. And the way it works is when you want a drink, you come up and you go, Danny, hey, you got a drink card? Can I get us a drink? You're in the strip, you're on a nightclub, you never have to go into the bar. You never have to buy your own drink. You just have to go up and ask somebody. So basically works out as you've got 5 shots a day, 4 days, 20 people, 5 shots a day, 5 beers a day. It's a decent amount to drink. If you're going to want any more, you're going to need your wallet.
Aye.
And to get your wallet, you need to save up enough money to buy it. I'll get onto that in a second. And so let's just do that, right? There's money on the back of these cards. And every time you get a drink, you get a shot. And I'll get onto the days in a minute. You get money. And I've got a menu of like, your T-shirts are £15. Your toiletries are £10. And trainers are £20. If you want your phone, it's 150, you know, because like if you want your wallet, it's 50, because then you can start like fucking claiming back a little bit of autonomy if you do that. But as it stands, you have to do a couple of days to get to that position. So I give everybody 5 optional days. Like here's one. They're really achievable days. Line up all the lads and put them in order of who you find the most attractive to the least. And I made hundreds of these days and give everyone like 5 each, all optional, all worth a fiver. So basically, if you want your contact lenses, because I put stuff in that he needed. Mm-hmm. He needed his contact lenses, he needed his retainers, right? But basically, so one of them will be like running to the sea. You're on holiday, you're going to do that anyway, right? Get at the sea, come back, get your thing, right? And some of them were a little bit more difficult. So if you wanted everything back, you had to jump through some hoops, right? Some of them were like, If I'd done this to you, you would have went through them and you were like, I'll do that one. I'm not going to shoplift. I'm on holiday. I'm not going to end up in Spanish prison. I'm not doing that. You may as well chuck that in the bin, right? Whereas, like, some of the lads, like, would have just went and shoplifted easy, but they probably wouldn't have getting a cock out. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that one's get your cock out. Show me your cock. So he'd done that one. Like, someone give him that one. Show me your cock. And he showed him at the bar. And then everybody had a forced dare that he had to do, otherwise he gets bankrupt and gets his money taken off them. So you had the force there, do that dare again. And you, as soon as he put his cock away, you ran up and went, do that dare again. So now he showed Gaz his cock, he's done it again. He's got £10, you got your toothpaste, boom, that's the game. Mm-hmm. In theory, mm-hmm. class game. Mm-hmm. Little bit of humiliation, mm-hmm. little bit of fatigue because there's stuff in there like do 20 press-ups. Have a 100-meter sprint against one of the lads and win. So you've got to choose who you think you'll win against. in theory, this is like, hold on, there's one more element. Everybody wanted to dress them up,
mm-hmm.
right? What we're going to dress them as. And I was like, right, I'll factor this in. Let's put in every room, there's four rooms of five. Every room has a wear my room's outfit for 2 hours card, and they got to choose what the outfit is. So like at golf, he was just in this little skirt with a fucking pink coloured thing, and one of the lads had like a variation of a mankini, another one dressed him like Jimmy Savile. But like this card was a forced dress in my room's outfit for 2 hours, as opposed to my 24 hours of dressing however he wanted to dress us. He could dress how he wanted for 22 hours in a day, but dress like that for 2 hours. That was the stipulations of the whole thing. You can get as drunk as you want. You can wear as many clothes as you want. You can get as dressed as you want. You can have as many toilets as you want. There's just a few hoops to jump through and a little bit of humiliation. Where did it all go wrong?
You gave machine guns to savages. And then did absolutely nothing to remedy it.
There, hold on. Let's go through how it went, right? So I've got the list of theirs here. Right, let's go through the list of theirs and see the ones he did and the ones he didn't do.
Now, this is like people going through like the chemicals in in vaccines, being like, this is lethal, this is lethal, this is lethal. And you go, but it's how you use them together makes them unlabeled. But in the reverse of that.
But this is the thing. He could have used them at his own pace, however he wanted.
And it's the most toxic stag do I've ever been on. There was a fucking there were four different groups of people from different fucking parts of society.
Like a couple of comedians, a couple of sound Geordies, a couple of reprobates. Because this was the thing, right? A couple of like his mates who he had to send us the number to invite, right? I was so bored. Talking to one lad in particular, where he was going, I've given him the drink there and he's not doing it. And I'm like, because that's not the game. Why are you not listening? I've told you 100 times. Like, he comes to you and asks you for the drink. And you went, well, that's fucking shite. We're not even getting him drunk. You're going easy on him. And I'm like, no, like, you're now reminded, you've got it in your head that a stag do is get the person as drunk as possible. Mm. Like, there's so many more ways. Like, there's a million different ways of him, like, getting embarrassed. Or like getting like a good photo opportunity, or the piss took out of him, or putting him in a situation that he's uncomfortable with. Uh-huh. Like I've like fought on so many more levels than just your narrow-minded, monotone, fucking let's get him really fucked up. Because at the end of the day, ye and I's a lightweight as much as me. You just kind of put the cunt to bed. He's like, oh, shite that. And I'm just like, well, you can fuck it up if you want. Like if you want to fuck up the economy and make them forced drinks, he'll be in bed. He'll have all his stuff back. And it'll be pointless. You've just made the whole thing pointless. So, and then there was a bit where, and this is Matty's poor decision making. He just had, what did he have? Like a chowder or something. He had like a fish food dinner, not the golf, the meal that we had at the Tiki Beach. He had like a big seafood dinner and then went for the dare card, raced one of my friends and raced grassy and was hoying up after that. And he wasn't in a good way. That's where the wheels went off the bus. Is where he started hoying up after that run. And he's like throwing up everywhere. And it was getting to the point where he was like dry heaving. And fucking this lad who we're talking about, trying to fucking throw a shot in his face, have that shot new. Cunt's hoying up. He's like, aye, but make him have a shot. He's going to have a shot new when he's doing that. I was like, do you want to kick his head in as well? Should we just fill him in? Do you want to get a pool ball and a sock and just fucking
To be fair, Crassy did kick him when he was down.
Did he actually?
Aye.
Did Crassy kick him?
I don't know if it was Crassy, but one of them did,
But he just after he spewed up there, he just like he went to bed, and then like he come back with a shell of a man. He didn't want any interest in the dares or getting his stuff back, and like he was just sad.
Mm-hmm.
He was just deeply sad, and he went to bed early. Like I took him to bed before like the night really started, and then I was like, "You can't be tapping out new. Hold on, what's he done? Right, what's he done?" He ended up doing because I got all the cards back. He'd done three drinks and three shots. And he downed one of the drinks because that was one of the dare cards.
Oh, he downed at least two.
He didn't have to.
All right, well.
Right, because there was one. I only put in down one drink. I only put that in. Right. He put his mates in order of who's the most or the least attractive.
Got it very wrong.
He showed his cock twice.
Mm-hmm.
right? He acquired some knickers. There was an acquirer of knickers there. And there was this old woman next to him. And he was like, can you help us with any of these dares? And she went and took her knickers off and brought them back and put them on his head. Mm-hmm. They were sitting under the table for 10 minutes. There was a wild card, which everybody had a wild card where they can choose their own dare. And if he accepts it, they can dare it. Beat Scotty D in a punch bag machine. Right? And then there was...
Order food in a...
order food in a Spanish accent. English in a Spanish accent, which is very funny. The video for that's good. So he done them dares, right? And then he raced against Grassy. And then he died for the rest of the holder. I didn't do enough to break him. Like, if that's him broken, blame the man, not the game. Blame the man, not the game, if that's where he breaks. Because at that point... everybody had drank more than him.
Mm.
Like, but he fucking hated it. And it was really sad because we just had to go on holiday without him. He went to golf the next morning. I stayed up all that night, powered through, 8 o'clock in the morning, I wake you up for golf. We're going to get Matty, who's been in bed for 8 hours, right? Shower him, take him to golf. And he was miserable as fuck all the way around that golf course.
Mm.
And then as if he was doing his own dares, got a prawn salad.
Oh, he did. That was an odd. Aye.
Aye. And then we get back and he's like miserable, so we're just going to get some sleep so he can come out tonight. And then he comes out at night, he gets asked to put on this mankini thing, fucking spits his dummy about that, ends up going home early.
I think you're missing out there was a fucking portion of that fucking stag do of men that devoid of empathy.
Mm.
Not choosing to.
There was a range. You had you who was fighting his corner, legs of Brucey, was just like the dares were by the standard of whoever did it. Oh no, one of his dares was piss off Scotty D, and another dare was slap a bald man on the head with a handful of mayonnaise, and he was like two birds, one stone. Got a handful of mayonnaise, went up to Scotty D at the table, slapped him on the head with mayonnaise. And he got one of them, but Scotty D wasn't pissed off enough for Demas to go, no, he didn't seriously piss him off.
Mm.
You're not getting this card. So, like, somebody would have went, aye, that'll do. He was pissed off. I saw it in his eyes. Right? So there's a range of, like, whether he passes your challenge or not. Brucey would have just, like, oh, wild card, I'll give you a fiver if you, like, hop on one leg for a second and then give him it. So you're going to get people that are like, nah, you haven't done it right, and you're going to get people that are just like, fucking hell, Matty, get all your stuff back, I feel sorry for you. So that was the whole point, is I knew there was going to be people that were tight and there was going to be people that were easy, but it all balances out. So for every person that's got his back, there's going to be someone that he's not good enough for. So I bear that in mind as well.
I'm sending tanks and medics to war.
Aye, that's what you do.
It didn't have to be a war.
Aye.
But you could have just not invaded the country.
But what did he... Should I have just took him on a golfing holiday? Or should I have just let him off with everything?
No, you're being very binary. There was a middle ground which at no point nobody accepted.
I felt like the middle ground was, don't put him in outfits for 24 hours a day, just put him in it for 22 hours a day, right? Don't ply the drinks down him, give him his options to have drinks. And as far as like the other days that went, there were minor inconveniences. You could have gotten all your stuff back with Maynard. If he wanted his phone back, he would have had to do some... Like, because the phone was 150. If he wanted that back, it was going to have to be a couple of trickier dares. Like, one of the dares that he did do, which was hilarious, because it was, go and pet someone's dog and ask how old it is. And when they tell you the age, go, ooh, hot.
Mm.
He'd done that when he was in his mankini. He was making it harder for himself. And then after doing that, pick a lane, after doing that, which is hilarious, hoofed that he had to wear it.
Mm.
Like, which lane are you in?
Oh, well, he didn't have any other fucking options. You'd taken everything away from him. You backed him into a corner and there was no parachute. There was no tap-out button.
I didn't have any of my clothes on my holiday. I don't know why yous are so against me drawing parallels with my stag, which he organised with you, right?
How nude were you in any of your costumes?
I've got a picture of us butt naked and covered in bruises.
Uh-huh.
So that ended up happening.
Right, and that was where we were. That was where we were staying in a hill where no one could see you. So at no point were you ever publicly close to nude. at any point in
nah,
your stay.
I don't think so. No,
I can guarantee not even a little bit, right? And also, all of your costumes weren't notorious fucking pedophile. It was just, hey, here's some jorts and some shoes that don't fit and a gross-looking top as opposed to...
Jimmy Savile.
And making him set a fucking mankini in their kids. This was another one where I was like...
Oh, that was... I spotted that. Anyone else had spotted that? I was on that point of route because he was like, oh, you have to put that on now. The day I was there and that, and you had to get into the toilet to put it on. And I was like, man, you can't go back to the toilet and come back wearing that when there's kids having their dinner. So I was like, fucking Gan, put it on, put your shorts on, come back with your shorts on, and sit, dude, he was at the opposite end of the bar, at the opposite end of the table. It's like, sit there with your shorts on, and then when they're gone, we can go on to the next bar. Mm. And it was like a balance, because like, some people were fucking ruthless, man. They were like, well, you can't bring your kids to Benidorm and expect not to see that. And that was like a kind of common line between a few people. And I was like, oh, you can tell the bad ones. Mm-hmm. You can tell the bad ones.
If you bring your kids to Benidorm, they deserve to see this shit. You're like, I don't think that's much of an argument, man.
But it was the same bar where you made him get his cock out.
Again, this is... Look, when he got his cock out, it was beside a fucking thing with the guy, with his mate Gary, was there. He wasn't on a fucking table. It wasn't fucking publicly. It was done in a very fucking private way because that's the type of person I am. You can try and draw the parallels to defend yourself, and fair enough, you're allowed to do that. I'm not accepting
it. As far as that family were concerned, he was a man with braces. You know, he had braces on. Everything was under the table. He was there, and then they left, and it was fine. So, like, I don't think that was a thing. But he wasn't bothered about that either. Like,
he
wasn't arguing that point. I'm not doing that in front of kids.
He wasn't arguing anything. Was because he felt he wasn't in a position where he could argue against anything. Like, you sit there and be like, he's taking it. I'm like, he's taking it because there's no other options available to him.
I think you should have been still out. You should have still been coming out.
Oh, I mean, I wouldn't know. I was in bed every night, pre-midnight, the way God designed me to be.
Fair enough. But, like, he's got his feeling like I fucked it up, but I think I got that right. It's like...
I think you missed the fucking tone on day two was the wrong decision.
You know what? I feel like if I had taken that approach to mine, I could have made all your efforts worthless. I could have made your efforts worthless. Imagine, like, I love my stag, so I'm not going to pick it to bits, right? But you know, if I had that headspace that he had, if I had that, I'd be like, in the middle of July, two back-to-back stag dudes with a gap in the middle of 3 days where I'm meant to be writing a Fringe show, you fucked up my work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I just worked around it. Mm-hmm. I could have went like, you took me phone offers for a week when I've got a fucking lass at home that's wondering where I am.
Are you suggesting that we know your limits and you don't know his?
I didn't do that. Man, if I'm guilty of misjudging his limits by taking his doing to 10% of mine, then what's he doing asking us to be best man?
Well, don't get me wrong.
I'm sad he had a bad time. I'm sad he had a bad time, but I'm fucking gutted the amount of time and money and effort and I'm always away from my wife. Always away from my wife. And not only did I like spend an extra weekend that I had off not earning away from my wife for his stag, but I stayed at his for the extra couple of days so I could fly with him from my gigs in Manchester. I just spent 2 weeks away from my wife and I've just come back from Australia to just go and like, you fucked up my stag. Like, I don't know if it's me that fucked up making it off. It's him that's just lightweight and ungrateful. We're double standards, massive double standards. But that's my defence. But I had a belter time.
I still feel fucking well rested.
Everyone else had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone had a lovely time. I had two lovely time in the airport. That was a potential car crash.
Oh, I've no idea why you did it. Like, the last time I'd done ecstasy or MDMA must have been 2016, 17.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't even think I did them on your stack, whenever that was.
No.
I think I did, your wedding might have been pre-fucking Netflix, might have been the...
Last time you did it was Ibiza.
Yeah.
Flower Power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been the last time I'd done ecstasy and MDMA. Just, I don't like it. Like, I know it makes you feel good, and I'll admit that it does make you good, but for me, like, it's a real drug that epitomises drug addiction, just in the sense that, like, it's never as good as the first time you do it. You're always chasing this high that you're never going to get. And ultimately, I don't like drugs that make me not in control. And ecstasy gives you this level of fucking false love where I'm like, oh my God, I love everyone, and I forgive everyone. And the thing is, I don't love everyone. And you know how, like, when you wake up after being drunk...
Oh, had you not, like, text someone you didn't like, apologize, like...
Whenever I've been on ecstasy, I've forgiven people who did not deserve my fucking forgiveness. I've been nice to people who did not deserve my fucking kindness. And I've like, in my head... Like, yeah, I mean, people wake up, oh, God, I got so drunk last night, I said this horrible thing. I'm like, did I text a piece of shit and tell them I forgave them for something they did 15 years ago? Because I don't. And now I have to send them a message being like, hey, man, I know I said at 3 a.m. last night, I forgive you. I want you to know I don't forgive you.
I was on ecstasy.
You've done no growing since then, and neither have I, so fuck off.
This isn't a bond between us.
So ecstasy is not my not my jam. I can turn it down very fucking easily. Which is, if you've ever handed me weed, you'll know it's not an easy thing for me to fucking do.
You don't battle addiction with AIDS, no?
No, not even in that, no.
So with these pills, right, like, I always know that it's like, yeah, getting a serotonin deficit very soon. And my brain after, like, it's like it's shrink-wrapped and you feel like it's been in a vice grip and Nurofen Express is the only ticket I've got out of it. So you wake up in the morning with just this fucking throbbing head and you've just got to get to the Nurofen Express as quick as possible, get it down you, and you've got like 15, 20 minutes to wait and then you're fucking, you got some relief. So I knew that's what I was getting myself into. So I had half a pill on a night out, fucking have a belt of time, have another half a pill. Next morning, feel fine. I'm like playing golf, and I've got no reason to feel this good on a come down. Like, I feel great. I don't even need a gan for my tablets. I just feel class. These are really clean pills. And on the last day, me and a friend who I won't name for the job purposes decided just like take a half at a time by the pool because we're like the branding on pills, the PR on pills is disco biscuits. It's a party drug. You take them, you're going somewhere, you're fucking dancing, you sweat your back out. It's a built up drug to hang around in the kitchen chatting to someone, going in the swimming pool and just float around, sit by the pool playing cards. It's a really good social drug.
It's not good for a fucking airport.
So we were like, kept having a half. We'd been checked out of a hotel at 12 and my flights wasn't until 9. So I'll just keep having a half. And then a bit later, you're like, I'm feeling all right. Keep having a half. And then just I'm about to get at the airport, I went, I mistimed this. I was meant to be coming fucking levelling off. So at the time, I had 4 halves. So I'm on 2 pills and time dilation meant to take them sooner than I should have. And in my taxi's here and I'm ready. I'm about to go. And my friend finds another half. He gives us it. And I went to the airport on 2.5 pills.
And it was absolutely...
it was pointless.
I hated it because I was just like...
My short-term memory was fucked.
Short-term memory was fucked. And also the fact that I'm like, well, man, even though you've done it, it's all your fucking responsibility, I'm still going to get you through and make sure you're okay. You forgot... It wasn't your short-term memory that was fucked. It was your long-term fucking memory that was fucked. That we've toured together for a fucking decade and you have never spoken to me so much in an airport and I've never been angry with you at an airport.
How are you not trying to talk to us?
No, I don't want to talk to anyone in a... When have we ever spoken in a fucking airport?
And I'm on pills?
But that's you, man. Go fucking
that, having a brand new experience.
I hated it. We're fucking sat and I'm like, I've just got to talk to him because otherwise he's going to wander away. He's not going to be able to fucking look at his phone.
I would have been so twitchy. I couldn't look at my phone. My phone was nothing. My phone was a fucking kaleidoscope.
And he just needs someone to talk to fucking keep him in the room. So I'm going to sacrifice my do not under any circumstance utter a word to me in an airport fucking stance to have a conversation where every 30 seconds you're like, what are we talking about? I'm like, this is the next 2 hours of my life. It's just having half of a conversation, you going, what were we talking about? Halfway through me explaining what we were just talking about, you asking me what I'm explaining, I'm like, I could just be playing Zelda, man. I could just be playing Zelda on me fucking Switch over there, right? And if he wasn't on XD, he'd be sat right there playing Zelda, and that's how it should be. It's the end of a holiday. How on earth? On the way back from fucking Vegas, Ali in the airport on the way back. He's like, do you just disappear in airports? I'm like, man, it's the end of the holiday. I don't know why anyone here is talking to me. I have no idea.
We've done it.
We've done it. That was it. We spoke, man.
You're staying for the credits on a computer game.
The second we get to the fucking airport, that is when the holiday ends. I'm not beholden to you. I don't need to tell you that I'm leaving. I don't need to tell you that I'm getting a fucking taxi. I could change my flight and you wouldn't know. The holiday fucking ends the second you and I enter the airport.
As soon as you get your bag in your hand. So I had this problem, and I've heard of it before. I saw it happen at Ricketts and Bestival, where you cannot piss.
Aye.
Where, like, you've taken too much MDMA or ecstasy and you cannot piss, right? And I'd been at the hotel that I had to try. I'd been at the airport that I had to try. But I was starting to be mindful, because he brought us free drinks, then he brought us a beer, a lemonade, and water. You're like, fucking that.
I'm just like, one of them, you can either have all of them. You should have at least two of them. The beer is optional. The water is compulsory, and the lemonade is...
Bear in mind, and I already tried to have a couple of pisses. I eventually worked my way through all of these three bottles, and I was busting.
So there's fluid in the system.
I was busting for a piss, but I couldn't piss. And somebody was like, try sitting down to piss. It's easier, right? And I fucking sit down. I've got my trousers down, and I can feel it like I could feel the piss at the tip of my cock, but it just wasn't coming out. I imagine this is what it feels like for people who have stage fright, you know, cubicle boys. You know, people who will knock out the urinal and they'll wait for the cubicle even though there's a massive queue.
I've got some real, real backwards, bigoted opinion on those people.
Me and Al.
I lack so much fucking sympathy.
You're in the wrong box, mate. Like, forget about gender, stand up and sit and doon. Get on that one. Stop clocking up the shitters.
Aye.
Right. Sitting doing the piss, standing up the piss. And if you're the stand up the piss guy,
what do you mean you get nervous peeing? You're not peeing in front of other people. You're not on stage, motherfucker. There's little barriers there. How obsessed do you think we all are with your fucking cock? I can't.
Bad. And I'm sat there just going, don't be a cubicle boy. Don't be a stage fright boy. Just mindfulness. And I just kept that feeling of busting for a piss. Right at the end of me cock for us, like, just trying and trying. And then I just fucking looked down. And I jizzed in the toilet with a soft cock without touching me cock. I took so much ecstasy, I fucking jizzed with a soft cock doing the toilet trying to piss. I didn't even know that could happen. I fucking cried out my nostrils before.
Yes.
When I ruptured my tear gland. But now I've jizzed while pissing.
It's really hard to piss after you've come as well.
It was horrible because, you know, if you every time.
I'm glad you sat down, to be honest.
I mean, me and you both. Me and you both, because I hadn't wanked that long either.
Otherwise, it was going to be a fucking crime.
You know, every time you've jizzed, it fires at the end of your cock. Mm-hmm. You've never, ever jizzed with a foreskin like an elephant's trunk hanging over it. Mm. It was fucking horrible, mate. It was dangling like I'd sneezed and it was hanging off my nose.
Like an elephant sneeze.
Like an elephant sneeze. I went to get some toilet rolls. The toilet roll. And I was sat there.
Force of habit, took your sock off.
Sweating and gurning and jizzing and not pissing. And I was like, I went too far. Didn't cry like a bitch though.
Nah.
Handled me shit.
I had a lovely fucking stag do because I just tapped out every night and was like, you been a pussy? I'm like, yeah, man. None of that works on me anymore.
Like, you know, I was doing that to you though. You never got peer pressure by everyone. Bruce, he came up with us once and again, does Sloss just do that? Does he just ghost, does he? And I was like, oh, no, he just, like, he always said this stag, he wants to come with for Matty, but he doesn't want to be involved in this fucking, like, late nights and all that. He just wants to go back and read his book.
I got a bit of pressure, but just from the people I'm used to pressure from and who I know, you know,
Ricketts fucking, and that.
Ricketts and...
just people that want to hang out with you, that's all.
And Elliot and Connor, I just kept saying to him, I'm like, man, you've got all day to fucking hang out with me. Like, I didn't take any fucking siestas. I was like drinking during the day, but I like sleeping through the night.
Getting up sharp, seize the day. I love it because there's like, there's so many lads there that I hadn't seen in so long and like not spent like proper time with anyway, you know. When I have out of Blythe, it's like you spread yourself thinly, you're just fucking speed dating them. And then to just like actually have some quality time around the pool, playing cards and all that, like having a fucking dance. Like I had a lovely time. I'm gutted that's not how it worked out for Matty, but like at least like I said to him, yeah, that I was gonna get him home in one piece. I got him back well rested, sober.
All of his money.
I over delivered, he didn't spend a penny. Motherfuckers there crying, man. I didn't know what he wanted. What did he want? Because he would have been gutted with the four people turning up. Did he just want a golfing holder there?
I mean, he is 40.
He might have just wanted a golfing holder. Maybe he should pick better mates.
I mean, he did pick me as best man, I just couldn't do it.
Aye, that was a really silly move, starting the day with a prank. You know, everybody that tuned in for you getting asked for to be best man instead of me. I don't know why you'd set us up in that direction. Like fucking shampoo in the sandwich, that. Put shampoo in my sandwich early doors.
I feel like that's the, you know, there are pranks that are, you know, I think are, you know, acceptable and good and not necessarily, well, mostly victimless, but it's like, all right, all you're doing is causing somebody like social discomfort there. But aye. Physical discomfort, and you've put shampoo on your foot. Man, if anyone put shampoo on my sandwich, I would phone the fucking police. Yeah. 100%.
Just spit it out, man.
Nah. You're so fucking uneducated. You have no idea what you just did. You've no idea how fucking toxic that is. Nah. Enjoy.
It's getting there, shampoo. You're getting your move when you're washing your hair.
Nah. That would be fucking friendship over for me. If you handed me a fucking shampoo sandwich, man, I'd spit it out in front of you, right? And then I wouldn't say anything. And just then I would delete your number.
I bet you, hello, because I would have been about 19, 20 at the time. I bet you and Ali were doing shit like that. I bet you as well.
Ali ate his own sick once, but that was pretty much
You're just a middle-aged man now, that's all. That's not very sensible.
No, like, again, but sick's been inside of your body. I'm talking, like,
I did fuck Grassy up with something like that, though. I put fairy liquid in one of the fucking water bottles, mindlessly. I didn't know how fucking toxic it was. It's really toxic. And everyone at, like, fucking training, but half-time in training, swilled them back, and you just saw Grassy vomit everywhere, and me and Brucey, who did it, we filled up the water bottles. But just like, I got him. He was off work for a week.
Aye.
He was like, fucking, my dad was like, Kai, that's really dangerous, that, mate. Like, you've got to be fucking careful with shit like that because I can take your stomach lining off, and that's obviously what's happened. And I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, whoops. So we actually fucked Grassy up doing that. So that's why you stopped doing shit like that because you've done it once. I got Brucey with, he come back to mine. I was like, do you want to borrow a spare toothbrush? Yeah, he stayed in mine. I got a toothbrush from behind the sink, you know, like my mum uses to take the plugs in the shower head. I fucking give him that, and he didn't even look at it, put toothpaste on. He just starts foaming up black in his mouth.
Aye, again, another one.
this is who we were as youngins.
Aye.
So, like, when you think about that shit, it's toned down a lot when I'm like, put your mates in order of hotness. Wave at a boat until someone waves back.
That was my one. That was my one. I wrote that one.
Order food in a Spanish accent. Like, there was enough of them to get enough clothes back to get on with a holiday. Like, I only made it, like, so that there was a handful of difficult ones if you wanted all your shit, you know? So if you want your aftershave and you're watching all that, you're going to have to start going through the gears. And you said you wouldn't have done it.
No.
But I guarantee if, like, obviously you wouldn't have done it with Matty's mates.
Mm.
But with your mates... Right, you would have gamified it, you would have had, like, put your things down, and you would have threw some out, and you would have went, keep them for later, I'll do this one now. And you would have done it like an escape room. And I think, well, you would have enjoyed doing it, because, like, you would have chose your own adventure, and you would have done it smart. Matty didn't even try to do it smart. He didn't even look at everybody's cards. He didn't want to fucking know. There's so many cards that just are, like, still in people's pockets and haven't been looked at, because he fucking huffed all the way through it.
Well... I don't think I would have. I mean, there's a bunch of ones I wouldn't have fucking done. I would have just. It was the rule change. It's like, if he buys his wallet back, I'm taking the cards off him. I would have been like, that would have been me. Absolutely, completely and utterly. Like, go to reception, being like, "Aye, can you phone my landline at home? Aye, Cara," and he just put me on the next flight from fucking Las Vegas to London. I'm coming home. They've rigged the system. I'll see you later.
The card one was he was just going to buy sell a bunch of new clothes and buy sell a different hotel and have a holiday on his own. I was like, "Don't do that. Play the game."
Well, but that's
play
not,
the game,
that's
mate.
A
away, mate. That's not a loophole. That's Toys at the Pram. That, like, I could have asked for my wallet back at some point, and that would have been a loophole. If I went, give us me wallet.
No, fucked off
to a different place than the match that you bought us.
Toys at the Pram.
That's Toys at the Pram.
Oh, Jesus. Toys at the Pram was what happened on Tuesday, which was, I'm done and I'm not doing it anymore. That's Toys at the Pram.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to buy back my wallet because you've allowed me to buy it back, and I'm going to use that money to end this. Mate. That's not Toys at the Pram.
I would have been more gutted if I'd, like, paid for his holiday, got him in a nice hotel, got his mates there, got all his drinks paid for him. And just because he didn't want to wave at a boat, he bought his wallet back and fucked off.
Well, I mean, you could have made the trip more fucking pleasant then, or you could have made it fucking easier to the point where he didn't want to leave. Like, there's other ways.
No, mate, I think you've got a kid and you've got Alice and you're like...
But he's got heart problems.
Well, he shouldn't have bought gear. Like, you know what I mean? What are you doing? I didn't get gear for you. That wasn't part of it.
So, I mean, I every single man on that wedding at that stag do said they would have tapped out the fucking day before and then kept doing what they were doing. And I'm like, this is
not every single man. You got that wrong. It was you and Dickie.
No.
Yeah, because he said that of us, and then I went through, and they would have just went, "Oh, I would have done this and that, and I would have had this, and I would have moved."
Demas wouldn't have done it. Ricky said he wouldn't have done it. Fucking. No, I'm telling you,
it's way less than what's happened on the road stags. I mean, Ricketts hasn't had a stag, but like Demas would have been dressed up the whole time and all that.
10-15 years ago.
Huh?
How long has he been married?
Don't know. It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does. Of course it fucking matters. Of course it matters. People grow and change and get older. Like, you've just said the reason I wouldn't do it is because I'm a dad now. Like, yeah, I would have done it when I was 21.
But you know
but
what?
I wouldn't do it now because
me
10 years ago would have done this. Me now would not have done this. And because you admit yourself, I've grown, I've changed, I'm a dad now. Like, that was, you know.
No, but that just means, like, you can't be without your phone. There's, like, a handful of things where, like, you'd have to tweak it again for you. I'm not going to take your phone off you and you've got a kid at home. I mean, Matty's got a kid at home, but he's marrying her. it was such achievable days. I reined it right in from being a 40-year-old. Reined it right back. It's a damn shame. But when it was in full swing, everybody who was saying I wouldn't have got this far was like, you could package this and sell it. Sell this as a package so that stags who are Googling stuff today on stags can get that fucking list of 100 days, divvy them between their mates, put the drink tokens out, and then just fucking, like, you're on your way, monitor it.
Mm.
It wasn't until he started, like, it wasn't even a 100-meter sprint because I watched the video back and it took 10 seconds on sand to finish.
Oh, wow, world record.
That's Olympic world record.
Oh, that's amazing.
On sand. So it was probably...
No wonder he was spewing.
It was probably about 40 meters. Right, it only went tits up because he ran 40 meters. They haven't blamed the game, blame the man. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I'm blaming the referee and the fans.
What do you guys think? You're off on holiday now, aren't you, again?
Yes.
Back to Spain?
Well, fucking Tenerife, because I love my wife and she loves Tenerife. And if I went back on my I'm never going back to Spain thing for Matty's stag, I couldn't.
You're going on Tenerife for Cara.
Yeah, I mean, but she did a real good pitch of that Tenerife technically doesn't count as Spain. I mean, we'll see. I can't imagine I will come back with any different opinions on...
Go to the Siam Water Park.
I've heard that's
if you like the water parks in Florida, it's on par.
It's on par, okay. Because she was like, what do you think about the water parks? I'm heard it's one of the best in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I have, like, America does.
They'll have one of them vertical drop ones and they'll go through a shark tank. So, like, yeah, You don't really get to see much when you're in it, but it's cool when you can watch the Shark Tank and see people whiz through.
Well, I don't imagine we'll be doing much. Like, mainly, I think the water part bit will just be, we'll be putting in a Kaelin in a non-drownable bit. Just
yeah, because if it's just the three, like, a lot of the good ones are, like, multi-tube ones where you're getting through a plug hole and that sort of shit. So if you're, like, running off on your own, there will be a couple of individual slides that you can each day while the other one watches the burn. But it is a good one for a team effort. So just, like, maybe it's just, like... Like, I don't know, clip him to the carabiner clip on the wall of the lazy river.
I just the back eye. Just duct tape him to one of them, hope it doesn't flip.
Aye.
Oh no, I think we'll be fine not doing heaps. I was like, everything was gonna be a holiday to recover from the fucking stack, but I'm
super fine. Aye. Totally fine.
Well, I mean, we'll see. Like, I think now we're at the age where it's like sometimes there's like a 2 or 3 day delay. But that would be the worst thing if, like, tomorrow or Thursday while I'm in the sun, my body goes, hey, here, I'm going to take all that serotonin you stole. And I'm like, go, man, have it. My son's there. I'm sure I'll be making more.
I've got a bit of it. I'm looking at getting my voice back for the pod because I lost this completely.
Oh, you fucking, was it?
Day two after the night where I powered through and carried on to golf. I stayed up like 1:30 that next morning as well. Like, so that was one of my biggest sessions ever. But like, I'm trying to organise 20 people to move different bars and stuff, and I'm like, just couldn't get my words out. So I'm just like whispering instructions to people who are loud.
Aye.
And then I got to karaoke and trying to talk to people over the top of karaoke. People ask us questions, and I'm like, I don't know.
Just your wee etch-a-sketch.
Aye. Didn't cry like a bitch.
Right. Well, I won't see you for 2 episodes, probably.
Yeah, I'm going to leave all the stuff here and come back. And I think Glenn Wool's in town, did you tell us?
I did, he's a guy, so definitely do
so
that.
So let's see if I can get Glenn Wool to come for one, and I'll see if Colin will do one, and then you'll be back.
Tweet.
Bye.